This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Delegate Chris Peace joins us on the phone. He's a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, a good friend of the program, and a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, the Political Leaders Program at the University of Virginia. Chris, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Coy. Great to be with you again.
Absolutely. Thanks for spending some time with us. We definitely want to talk to you about all these taxes and the tax rate, because that's some big local news here. But, we also spoke with Senator Ken Cuccinelli in the last hour, who has recently announced that he wants the Republican nomination for Attorney General to get on the ticket with already announced Bill Bowling, who's running for re-election, and Bob McDonnell, who the current Attorney General, who wants to be governor, and he wants to get the Republican nomination for governor. What were your thoughts when you heard Ken announce? And I'm just curious about your thoughts about that statewide race, which we're going to see folks, it's already starting to heat up. We're going to see those campaigns shift into fourth and fifth gear over this calendar year.
Absolutely, Coy. We are getting ready for these big statewide races next year. You know, in Virginia, there's an important election, every year. Right now, people are captivated by the presidential elections and are following those races, the Democrat nominations for president and the Republican nominations for president, I think very closely. I'm not sure how closely people are following the statewide races for governor, attorney general, lieutenant governor quite yet, but they will. Certainly in the legislature, we've been watching some of our fellow members begin to position themselves for these runs. On the Democrat side, at least in the House, we've seen Brian Moran, step forward. He'll be running against Cree Deeds from the Senate for governor. At least that's what we think. But on the Republican side, I'm very pleased that we are going to avoid that type of infighting, that type of nomination contest, and really unite and focus on our message and our vision for Virginia, with having a solid ticket of Bob McDonnell, who's been a successful attorney general, has been a really policy leader, as well as the state's top law enforcement officer, has cracked down on sexual violent predators, has looked to find ways we can reduce the presence of criminal illegal aliens in the Commonwealth, has done an admirable job. Bill Bowling, as lieutenant governor, has really been a leader in the Senate as presiding officer of the Senate. I know that he was looking forward to maybe a 2020 parity in the Senate at one point where he would break a lot of ties. He got that one opportunity this past time with the funding of Planned Parenthood, which brings me to Ken Cuccinelli. And that was his floor leadership on that issue in the budget process. Ken has been a solid conservative in the Senate, winning in Northern Virginia, which, as you know, Coy, is not easy for Republicans to do these days with the influence of Washington and the sort of the trickle-over effect of the president and the White House and people's views on the administration. People reading the Washington Post every day doesn't help the Republican Party in Northern Virginia.
Right, right.
But Ken has been a solid conservative. He's won close elections. He's organized, and he's been consistent in his philosophy of government.
We're talking with Chris Peace, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, good friend of the program. The phone lines are open, folks, at 977-1070 if you want to share any of your thoughts about any of these issues. So we got the big state races coming up in 09, and this year, November, a lot of folks don't seem to be talking about it yet, but, Virginia will choose a new senator this year in just a few months. And of course, Mark Warner is running against Mark Warner, of course, the likely Democratic nominee to run against a Republican nominee. But the Republicans haven't yet figured out who exactly that will be.
Right. Maybe we've gotten ahead of ourselves figuring out 09 before we figure out 08. But we do have a convention coming up this summer where we will have the choice of selecting between one of my colleagues in the House of Delegates, Delegate Bob Marshall, and former Governor Jim Gilmore in a convention rather than a primary nominating contest. So we do have that ahead of us. All the local units have mass meetings for reorganization in the early spring and late spring. In Hanover, we have ours April 10th. So we'll be sending delegates from our local units to our congressional committee conventions, the 7th District in my case, for Eric Cantor this this April and May, and then from there also sending delegates to the statewide convention. In addition to Mark Warner running and Jim Gilmore and Bob Marshall vying to compete against him for the U.S. Senate, we are also reelecting our congressman. And I know for me, having worked in the House of Delegates for Eric Cantor, and now serving and working with him in his capacity as a congressman representing the 7th District, I'm very pleased and proud to, you know, hopefully be working to send him back again for another 2 years in Congress. So we do have a lot of important elections this year. You've got the president, too. And again, just to underscore, we have an important election every year in Virginia. People need to be involved and paying attention, and I hope they will. I think they will be.
My guest is Chris Peace, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Chris, let's talk about the session that isn't quite over yet. Y'all are in a special session right now, right?
That's correct, Corey. Every other year, we go in for 60 and 45 days. The 60-day session was this year in order to address primarily the budget. And we were able to finish within our constitutional and our resolution time frame. We extended 5 days and finished on the 13th of March, and that was to give the budget negotiators some more time really to get to know each other. We were operating and developing a budget this year in sort of a new environment where in the Senate we have a majority of the party as Democrat and House Majority Party Republicans. This is the first time we've really had a bipartisan budget negotiation in some time, in about 10 years. So they took, you know, 5 extra days, but I thought it was pretty good. They were able to fashion together a budget. We adjourned sine die from the regular session, but immediately went into a special session on the what's called the 21st Century Capital Improvement Program. I think listeners in your area would be very interested in this program, which is essentially a multi-million dollar bond package for capital improvements on our public colleges and university campuses. So we're looking for ways to increase classroom space and research space and other needs of colleges and universities in order to, one, bring more students in, two, to keep costs down, and three, to remain competitive and with other universities and colleges in the nation. As you know, with UVA and your listening audience, we have so much to be proud of with our places of higher learning. We've had the best in the nation. And so this is a proposal we're debating on a bond package to give some money towards capital improvements on our colleges. And I think it's really an important measure for the future.
We're talking with Delegate Chris Peace. And where does that stand now? I mean, does that just need a green light and then Virginia will start selling those bonds?
Yeah, pretty much. We have the bills in posture. They have passed committees unanimously. And so when we come back April 23rd for our scheduled reconvene session where we consider the governor's amendments and vetoes to various bills, upon that adjournment, we will move into sort of a procedural mechanism where we will then just approve these bond packages. That is, if there's the support.
Chris, how does that work though? Are certain bonds sold for specific actual projects, like a new science building at UVA, or are they all sold just to create a kitty that it will be doled out later?
We've done both in the past, and we've found that it's much better to be specific about the project. You know, we are obviously with bonds taking on and incurring debt that the future will have to pay. And so we want to be as shrewd as possible with those dollars and target our investments wisely. And so we will be and have asked the college and university to identify the projects and get some hard costs. But as you know, with construction, you know, these costs go up. And so it's wise to be doing this now. It's just going to cost more down the line.
Yeah, and we've certainly seen that with road projects. You know, you get an estimate for a road, and then they say, oh, we can't do it, it's $38 million, and then they relook at it 3 years later, and now it's $90 million. And what are we going to do? What's the situation with transportation in Virginia? We thought we had a solution last year, and that most of that seemed to have fallen apart, but y'all are going to go back to the drawing board in a few months, right?
That's right. We don't know when exactly. The governor has conducted a series of town hall meetings. It is likely that he'll call us into a special session on transportation in much the same way we've done for the last few years. You know, the compromise that we passed last year, House Bill 3202, has had some parts ruled unconstitutional. It has had some parts now repealed by the legislature. It has some parts that still remain in effect that are very important, and I think that they've somewhat been lost in this discussion. Things like tying land use at the local level to land use to transportation planning at the state level with VDOT, getting VDOT and local governments to talk more. We also reformed some aspects of VDOT's operations in general. So there were some remnants of that bill that are still important. There are some simple fixes to the matter that the Supreme Court addressed. I know Delegate Albo has a proposal for Northern Virginia. There's some consensus among those counties in that region to levy fees and taxes for the purpose of roads in their area. The Hampton Roads delegation has looked for a fix for that region as well. And as you know, in Northern Virginia, it's more about road building. In Hampton Roads, we're talking more about dealing with crossings and tunnels and those types of and that type of infrastructure, which really relies more on multi-jurisdictional cooperation. So it's a little bit harder down in Hampton Roads, but there seems to be some consensus about ways to raise revenue that would stay there for roads. The rest of us, you know, talking about NOVA, we're in ROVA. We're the rest of Virginia.
Yeah.
and I know the people in my district don't feel that the Richmond area in particular has a transportation problem or a crisis. We need to be thinking ahead, but I'm not sure if the people in our area particularly want to be burdened with additional fees and taxes in order to send those dollars to other parts of the state when they're paying $3.25 for a gallon of gas, when they're paying more at the grocery store and at the retail center, so they're not interested in a sales tax increase. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting session to try to find revenues without overburdening people. And in the past, we've looked at bonds. Those bonds are supported in part by things like the abuser fees and the local taxes collected by the authorities, now unconstitutional. So we've got to find a way that we can replace those monies to continue those bonds and keep those moving forward.
Well, it's been suggested that we just have a new statewide gas tax.
Right.
That you saw that in the Senate this year. That was killed in the Senate, but I think the Democrats were proposing a penny a year for 5 years.
That's right. It passed the Senate. It was killed in our House Finance Committee. I voted against it. You know, when they talk about roads, you hear the figure $1 billion a year used a lot. In order to generate the revenue on a sustainable and ongoing basis to meet the needs that the transportation interest groups claim they have, we would probably have to raise the gas tax upwards of 30 or 35 cents on the gallon. And that's just not palatable. That's a non-starter. That's a doubling of the tax on a gallon of gas that we have right now. And again, there's no end in sight with $108 a barrel gallon of oil, the increased prices at the pump. It's not the time for that. And I think we can find alternative ways to raise revenues, to support bonds, to build roads, rather than shouldering the burden on other. You have to think about the economic consequences, too. The truckers, the folks who bring food to the market, if you start to increase the cost of those things, then the customers are going to end up paying more. So they're paying twice. They're paying at the pump. They're paying for higher food prices. It's the collateral impact that we have to think about. And in this economic time, it just may not be the right course.
We're talking with Delegate Chris Peace. And speaking of taxes, you know, here in Albemarle County, they had a big public hearing last night. It was just packed to the gills regarding a proposed new tax rate. And this is going on in municipalities all across Virginia right now as local governments decide on the new tax rates for the coming fiscal year. And I guess this is happening where you live, too.
Absolutely. We've finished our budget cycle. Now all the local governments are having public hearings and implementing their own budgets. Here in Hanover, we've just had a public hearing on the budget. We have, I think, a very palatable tax rate, 82 cents per hundred. The assessments have gone up, and they've published an equalizing rate that the local government is saying that they will not adopt. So essentially, people will be paying more. They're not going to equalize the amount of revenue they're receiving by lowering the rate now that assessments have gone up. So they're keeping the same rate, 82 cents, People will be paying more, but it's about a net 7% increase overall. You know, people are not happy paying property taxes, and I certainly understand because I pay them. I guess we do get the benefit on our federal income tax. We can put that on there, but we did have a bill this year in the General Assembly, which was defeated in the Senate, to give homeowners a homestead exemption on the assessed value of their property for purposes of real estate tax, and that would have been about a 20% exemption. So we had measures that are put forward to be able to give homeowners relief on their taxes, but again, we've met some resistance in the Senate. I think it will continue to be a policy that we push from the House perspective. We got to find ways to give homeowners relief. If local governments aren't going to do it, the state needs to step in.
Chris Peace is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Chris, thank you for joining us. Happy spring to you. I hope you enjoy your spring.
I'm waiting for spring to come, Coy. Yeah. I don't know where I am. It's cold and raining. So.
Yeah, I was out for lunch. It was sleeting today.
Yeah, it was.
Goodness
Amazing.
Gracious. Hey, Chris, thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
That's right. So much for global warming.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Coy.
Absolutely. That's Chris Peace from Hanover. He's a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, a good friend of the program, and a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership's flagship Political Leaders Program.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.